So he will be speaking on nutrient loading of white spruce and jack pine seedlings for potential outplanting and oil sands reclamation.
Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, this is my topic, and my name is Yue Hu, and it's very hard to pronounce, so just call me Bobby. So this is the outline for today's talk. And in the next couple of minutes, you will keep hearing two terms. One is nutrient loading, and the other one is exponential fertilization method. So what are they? No one is identified. So first, nutrient loading actually is a nursery fertilization practice that increases plants' internal nutrient reserve by inducing luxury consumption without altering seedling size. And this is a very important figure to show you the relationships among the nutrient supply, plant growth, and tissue nutrient content. And in my result part, I will also use this figure. So now I will explain it for you. As you can see, conventionally, fertilizer F is added to supplement the soil nitrogen supply to the sufficiency level to maximize plant growth. And optimal nutrient loading is achieved by adding fertilizer L by inducing luxury consumption to increase the internal nutrient reserve prior to the outplanting. However, excessive fertilization E will cause the toxicity to the plant seedlings. And as you can see, the nutrient loading will result in a high biomass and a high nutrient content for the seedlings, so it can promote the plantation early establishment and improve seedling performance under nutrient and moisture stress by exhibiting large root production, and also it can outcompete non-target vegetation. And next, I will talk some nutrient limitations for the oil sands reclamation in the Alberta. Applying peat or peat mineral mix as a cover soil is a common practice in oil sands reclamation in Alberta now. However, this material has very low availability of nitrogen, and also the macronutrients and micronutrients are relatively lower in this kind of material. So we need to think a way to improve the seedlings' nutrient reserve to improve the success of the oil sands reclamation. As you can see, the low nutrient availability can hinder the development of forest land and also the return of the expected growth trajectory for comparable and undistributed site. And these methods have been approved in many different sites, like the weedy forest sites and in some species just like oak and black spruce, and also on abandoned mine lands in southern Indiana. As this method have so many advantages, and jack pine and white spruce are very widely distributed species in Alberta and also in oil sands reclamation, and we never test this method to these two species. So that's why I'm doing my project. I want to see if this method also works for these two important species. So objectives for my project, the most important one is to determine the target nursery fertilization rates and models for effective nutrient loading. And the second one, that is the figure I talked to you before, is to understand the relationships. So for my experimental design, actually I have 7 treatments for each species. As you can see, I mark them in different colors, so CK, which means it control, and I only add water into it. And for the C200, and is a conventional practice the nursery people always do, which apply the equal doses of fertilization in the growth period. And for the exponential ones, I mark them in the yellow color. And the exponential treatments are adjusted by the conventional ones, and all the values stand for the milligram nitrogen per seedling. And I have 4 blocks per treatment and 45 seedlings per block. And the fertilizer I'm using is 20-20-20, which means the nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus are contained 20%. And the application method, you can see, is somewhat stupid, as you can see. I apply them by using syringe, so in each cavity. So thousands of cavities I need to apply each time. And the nutrient loading model I use is modified nutrient loading model. And this one is the schedule of fertilizer addition for species. As you can see, for the jack pine, actually it's 21 weeks for the jack pine and it's 23 weeks for the white spruce. And all the conventional ones, they will just look like a line. So, which means apply the fertilizer in equal doses. And for the exponential ones, it's using the model, so which better synchronize the crop demand. Because at the beginning, we just apply a very small amount, and in the end, we will apply more according to the seedlings requirement. And there are 3 times of plant sampling during the growing period, and 5 seedlings per block was sampled, and the above ground height, root color diameter was measured inside, and the component dry mass was measured in the lab, and the component dry mass are divided into leaf, root, needle, root, and stem. And the chemical analyze I'm using is nitrogen concentration, and the statistical analyze is ANOVA. So next, we will see some pictures. So this is the first week. You can see they are very, very small. After 6 weeks, they look growth. And this is what happened in the 7th week. And in the end, this is the the picture was taken before put them into the storage process. Okay, the first data I will show you is the height and RCD of root color diameter of the pine seedlings. And I will basically focus on more in the last collection, which is the 21st week. So the red line is out planting requirements for the nursery to judge the pine and RCD, so you can see for the pine, the outplanting height is requirement is 20 centimeter, and the root color diameter is 3 millimeter, and you can see all the fertilization treatments are reach the requirement height and RCD, which also means the exponential fertilization methods can produce the same quality of the seedlings as the conventional ones do. And this is component dry mass of pine, and the scale was changed during the growing period. As you can see, in the 21 week, there is no significant difference among all the fertilization treatments except for the E200, and the conventional one still has the highest dry mass content, mostly contributes by the higher needle biomass content. And this is the pine nitrogen concentration in different parts, and in this one, the y-axis is the percentage. And you can see the E500 has the highest root and stem concentration, and the exponential treatments all have higher nitrogen concentration than the conventional treatment. And this is a pine nitrogen content in different parts. And this one is another format of that figure, and you can see the E500 still the highest nitrogen content treatments, and the explanation ones all have higher nitrogen content than the conventional ones, except for the E200. So once we got the biomass content and the nitrogen concentration and the nitrogen content, then we can recall the figure one that I talked with you before to see which one will be the optimal nutrient loading treatment. So this is what I plotted all the data into the same graph for the exponential treatments. And the three cycle or point to the same treatments, which is E500 for the pine. And for the spruce, they look very, very small at the first. And even after 7th week, they still look very small. Because the growing period for the spruce is very long. So, and 16th week, they start to grow more. And in the end, they will look like this for all the spruce treatments. The same, I want to, I will use the red line to determine the outplanting requirement for the height and root column diameter for the spruce. And you can see all the fertilization treatments are meet the requirement. And the for the height, the is the E450 is the highest one. For the root color diameter, the conventional one still the highest one. For the component dry mass of spruce, the scale was also changed during the growing period. And you can see for the last collection, there's no significant difference among all the fertilization treatments except for the E300 and the E900 has the highest dry mass content. And this is the spruce nitrogen concentration in different parts. And we can see E450 has the highest root and stem nitrogen concentration. And the exponential treatments have the higher nitrogen concentration than conventional ones, except for the E300. And for the total nitrogen content, and there's no significant difference among all the fertilization treatments in regarding to the total nitrogen content. And the E450 has the highest nitrogen content in the exponential treatments. So, which means for the nutrient loading for the spruce was not that successfully as compared to the jack pine. And I still recall the model for the spruce as the last collection. And regarding to the nitrogen content and nitrogen concentration and the biomass, the 450 was the optimal nutrient loading for the exponential treatments. So in conclusion, the pine E500 is the optimal nutrient loading treatment, and the first spruce E450 is the optimal one. And the nutrient reserves are higher in nutrient loaded seedlings than the conventional ones. However, the field testing is very important for us to identify the other advantages, like the competition and establishment success for this technology for the seedlings. And I want to thank to a lot of people, maybe no one is here. Yeah, and especially thanks to the Conrad for the funding, and thank you. Yeah, any questions? Actually, some of my colleagues, they grow some spruce seedlings in the nursery, in greenhouse, like do the field, the plot test. So they just use the oil sands reclamation material in the pot, and they grow the seedlings in the pot to see if the seedlings really grow better. So I think, yeah, some of my colleagues are using the seedlings. But for me, I'm only doing this for the greenhouse work, so stage, yeah.
Any other questions? Thanks, Bobby.
Yeah.